Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And if you're about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. It's a podcast where we talk about anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's Steelers Hate Week Part 2 of this 2013-2014 season. Joining me, as always, even though he's a little under the weather today, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. I am under the weather, but I got one thing to say. It's Steeler Week.
That's right. But to help you out, in case you do actually lose your voice from all your screaming yesterday, also on the phone, we got our buddy Dave Sheeler. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's it going? I'm looking forward to talking football with you guys and ready to bash on some of them Pittsburgh squealers.
Well, that's right. We're all ready for that. Let's talk about what happened this past Sunday. The Jets came to town. We grounded all their flights. They couldn't do anything on that field. How impressed were you guys with the Baltimore defense this past Sunday?
I was actually impressed with the defense as a whole. I mean, obviously I was there. It's why I don't have a voice. I was, you know, 12th man. Third down, these fans were great on third down. I mean, it was raucous. It was cold. My clothes are still falling out, but again, they're going back to the defense. I mean, they played stellar. I mean, they've been playing stellar all year, and it's been going unnoticed, especially when the offense doesn't produce. I can't stand up. I mean, 3 points. I know it's Geno Smith and the Jets, rookie quarterback, but these Jets have put up points in the past this year, and they're no slouch. And obviously, NFL team any given Sunday, and to hold them to 3 points at home, this is where we need to start a stretch run. I mean, first a three in a row at home. This is it. We got 5 games to go. It's a playoff push, and I was very, very impressed on how the corners locked down. We didn't give up the big play. We got the big play on offense, but we didn't give up the big play, which has been our Achilles heel.
How about you, Dave?
Yeah. I completely agree with him. The defense is looking stellar. I mean, just like every team, you have your ups and downs, and there's always things that you can fix and work and get better on. And how about Jacoby Jones?
Jacoby Jones, he looked great this past game. I mean, it kind of felt like that mile-high miracle once again, that pass from Joe Flacco to Jacoby Jones. But for anybody that was worried that Jacoby Jones maybe lost some of his speed while he was dancing with the stars and everything, I mean, he looked great. He you know, had the wheels underneath him. And I think the big story here as well is that former teammate Ed Reed couldn't even catch him. I mean, he was trying. He knew where that ball was going, but Jacoby Jones smoked him.
Not only that, but it seemed like Ed Reed might have hesitated a little bit in that play as well. Yeah, that's the wind also. But I mean, Ed Reed isn't Ed Reed. The Ed Reed he was with when he was in Baltimore this year. I mean, he from the when he was with the Texans. And he's also still seems like he's recovering from that hip injury.
He is. Did you guys see the headline in the New York Daily News? It was Reed it, and weep with R-E-E-D. So obviously, the Ravens knew he was past the prime, guys. So, I mean, he's going to be a Raven, retired as a Raven. Even the fans gave him a good reception. He was over there cutting up with some of the players. I mean, hey, Ed Reed's always going to be Ed Reed. The memories are here in Baltimore. Luckily, he's not making new memories, or he did as a Texan, or he's not making memories right now yet. So, hey, we get the bragging boost that we saw a good year, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just, it still kind of hurts to see one of the greatest Baltimore Ravens to be in another team's uniform.
And guys, I don't know if Brandon and Dave, I don't know if it was shown on TV or anything, but did you guys know that it was Ogden's induction? He already got to the Ring of Honor, but I don't know if you know he had his ceremony for his Hall of Fame ring. I don't know if anybody knew that or if it was like under the radar news, but that was pretty exciting. His Hall of Fame bus was actually on display on Ravens Walk. I mean, obviously, I didn't get a chance to walk through because they had it roped off, but I even bragged and said, hey, I got to touch the bust and saw it in the actual Hall of Fame back in August. But it was a treat. I was on the field, got his ring for the Hall of Fame. It was really great to see him back and a cornerstone for this franchise. So it was another great thing to see, and I'm very proud of.
Yeah, you know, I that kind of was under the radar. I was on Twitter as I was watching the game, and when it got to a halftime, a lot of people were tweeting it out and saying that that was going on. So I think it's great that they're doing that at halftime form. I mean, the first Raven to get into the Hall of Fame, that's a pretty big deal. But congrats to him. And, I mean, he's still a huge presence here in Baltimore physically and, you know, emotionally, because Josh, on Raven's walk just a few weeks ago, we saw him kind of doing his radio show and walking through the crowd and everything. So it's great that we're honoring a guy who's still sticking around in Baltimore and you know, really gets up and close and personal with the fans.
Absolutely.
So getting back to this Jets game, I want to talk to a very strange moment for you guys. Josh, let me know if everybody else was confused at the stadium about this, but I don't know if you guys saw it or whatever or knew what was going on, but the Jets got a flag for one of their personnel members kind of blocking the official on the sideline as he's trying to get down as a play was trying to go on. So I think the Jets bench was as confused as everybody was at home when this play and when this call came out. Josh, what was the atmosphere like in the stadium? Were people like, "Hey, it's 15 yards, we'll take it," or were they just kind of like, why did this just happen? Who is this on? What was it like at that moment?
It was, I mean, actually, I saw it. It was on the far sideline where my seats were, but I guess obviously sitting up there, we didn't know how the view is. I could see the thing unfolding, and when I saw the flag, I knew it was going to be on their bench for, it looked like they were basically on the field. I said, I basically said they're going to call for bench interference, or however they called it, and so that's what I saw. And I don't know, speaking of another call on their sideline, you guys probably had a better angle at it on TV. I mean, they didn't show a replay on the jumbotron, but I saw it happen. I didn't like the fact that on that same sideline that Courtney Upshaw was flagged for blocking the punter. I mean, he had a clean head, looked like between the numbers. Actually did go to see the replay when I got back home. It didn't even look like it was vicious. I mean, it was a clean block. So, I mean, apart from those two plays on the Jets sideline, I mean, football's football, but I mean, And it just looks like the Ravens on top of that call couldn't capitalize. I mean, they got the ball in the 30, and we had to kick another field goal. But, I mean, it just, again, it's piss poor performance on, you know, Jacoby Jones utilizing special teams, get Cannon Dawes out, which was a great switch off. And, I mean, the Jets penalty, that's on call for. You got to keep your doctor checked.
It looks like Geno Smith is it kind of seemed like he was over his head against this Baltimore Ravens team, which I'm fine with, but I just got to say the defense worked great, and even the offense, who's kind of struggled a little bit. There's definitely still some things that need to be fixed on this offense, but overall for this game, I got to say I was pretty impressed by both sides on the ball. Josh, what about you?
Yeah.
What were your feelings on this?
Both sides of the ball, I mean, offense, apart from getting down in the red zone, a couple times come away, you know, and they had a couple time penalties. They weren't really moving the ball well. The running game was still stagnant. I tell you what, Justin Tucker's money. You know, in that 50-yarder in the win, what more can you say? I mean, right now, he's actually tied Matt Stover off the franchise lead with 22 straight consecutive converted field goals. So hopefully he can break that streak on Thursday night. We'll get to that in a minute because we got a lot to talk about there. But, I mean, Flacco, on point. I mean, one pick, it just was on call for. I mean, we get the ball on a turnover and then get the ball right back. You got to pay more attention. But Flacco throws one of the best deep balls in the league, even in the win, I'm going to fade him. It very impressive, the big play with Jacoby, even the one down on the sideline with Corey Smith. I was very impressed with the play call. And how about some Wildcat? I mean, Tyrod Taylor getting in the mix. And, you know, and my thoughts on that, one or two plays is okay. Get them all aside, and I loved how Flacco didn't really move. But my whole point on that is they kept trying it and then obviously snuffing out for a total of like 12 yards of lost yards on one of the final two plays. So one or two times is good for the Wildcat, but you keep burning it to the ground. I mean, that trick play only works one or twice. And but I do like to mix up. You know, we weren't vanilla. And let's see what we can bring out with the rest of the games remaining. But I love the plan of attack. I was fine with it. You know, ball control, methodically moving down the field when it needs to. We got to put more touchdowns on the board and field goals because going forward, it's going to be a big test.
Well, you know, I've talked to Josh about this time and time again this year. It seems like every time we talk, this is one of the biggest topics that I always have something to say about, and it's the offensive line. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that line, and there's a lot of young talent on that line, and you can build from that. but I don't know what their problem is, but the blocking just isn't there enough. And it did look a lot better this week than it has previous week. And I missed the Chicago Bears game, so I don't know how the O-line did in that game. You know, I was training up for my job. And this week, I was a little more impressed. It seems like they're slowly coming together. The offensive line just needs to get their blocking up a lot more. And Ray Rice, I still feel like that because of the offensive line, it's the only reason he's not having a big game-changing year. I know he did good against the Chicago Bears. But there's also a lot from Ray Rice I've seen differently. Like, he seems like he kind of hesitates instead of going to the outside like I've seen him do in the past. It seems like he tries to force himself up a hole that's not even there, which is unlikely with Ray Rice. It's just not what I'm used to seeing. But as far as what Josh was saying with the Wildcat, I loved it. Yeah, they kind of ran into the dirt a little bit, like he said. But I don't know if you guys remember this, but the Ravens have had some success with the Wildcat in the past when Torrey Smith was still the Ravens quarterback against the Oakland Raiders. And Torrey Smith threw what was almost a touchdown pass to Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I do remember stuff like that. If you guys listened to the press conference after the game, it didn't seem like Joe wants to. I think the quote is Joe is like, I don't want to play X, I don't want to play Y, I want to play QB. Do you think having this Wildcat formation come in? Do you think having Tyrod Taylor on the field for a good portion of plays during this game? Do you think that's going to affect the way that Joe plays from here on out? Is he going to take this as a threat, or is he going to like get down in the dumps and kind of say, man, I don't know what's happening. I got signed to this huge contract, and now it looks like they're not going to use me as much. Dave, what do you think it's going to be like for Flacco going forward? Is this going to be kind of like a kick in the butt for him, or is this going to be a deterrent on how he plays?
I'm hoping he uses it as motivation. He wants to keep his playing time the way it is, and you don't want to share the ball, which, I mean, if I was Joe Flacco, I'd want to share the ball, give somebody else a chance every once in a while. But, I mean, you're our star quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is not going to take his spot, just because he hasn't had a huge year this year compared to last season or the year before that. But, yeah, I'm hoping he uses it as motivation. I want to see him do big things. Like, I want to see him take that and make it more 10 times harder to try and win more games and throw more touchdowns.
Yeah, I
motivation,
like...
I don't think no. Brandon, I agree. No, it's not going to be motivation.
So you don't think this is going to... Do you think this is going to affect his game negatively with having Tyrod Taylor come on the field, or you think it's...
Not at all, man. He's got over 100 consecutive starts. He's got a 9-4 playoff record, and he's got a Super Bowl ring and an MVP trophy to go along with that. Joe Cole isn't going anywhere. We were kidding around with a few fans, friends of mine and fans that I know. We were debating, we had a big debate on Flacco, Is he a good quarterback? Is it elite? I don't care. I mean, at least throw it around loosely. Like, I love you. Just throw it around in relationships. I mean, give me a break. I mean, elite's elite. Everybody's their own quarterback. Joe's not going anywhere. And I think it's utterly ridiculous if we're going to talk about if Tyrod Taylor's going to come in and starting job over Flacco because of the Wildcat formation. And you see these running quarterbacks. They're like a dying breed. Kaepernick, where's his name been all year? Mike Vick, where's he at? RG Knee, where's he at? exactly. So my point is these running quarterbacks do not last. I love Tom Pocket Passer, and I'll take him any day. A Brady's a Pocket Passer, Manning, a Breeze. These guys are known for running. All the elite quarterbacks who've won in the last decade don't run the football. They sit back there and they wing it. And Joe Flacco's got the arm. He just needs that pocket presence to go along with that, but he's got the accuracy. It's there. The arm strength's there. No. Tyrod Taylor in the mix, you got to be kidding me. I mean, again, it's fun to talk about. It is a good question, but it's utterly ridiculous right here in Baltimore.
Well,
come on, guys.
Josh, I didn't think that Tyrod's going to... I even said Tyrod will never take Joe Flacco's spot.
Oh, yeah, Dave. I know that. I'm just actually getting the message out there because I've been hearing chatter. And it's not just this discussion, but I've been hearing chatter and poll questions, do you think Tyrod should get a chance? No. I mean, that always happens. Everybody likes to stir up what are people like? Gossip and controversy. That's why we like the Kardashians. That's why we watched all these shows we watch, because people love the juicy controversy. I'm just telling, I'm just putting my record straight on the record here and just saying that let's just squash all that rumors. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, obviously my words don't hold weight, but it's just ridiculous, guys. I mean, out there in Baltimore, he's saying, oh, I got Tyrod out there. He didn't do anything. He ran the ball and he got naked. He probably had, I think even Ray Rice beat him in rushing yards. So let's calm down. But it's fun to talk about, guys.
I will say I did enjoy seeing Tyrod on the field, at least for a few plays. If nothing else, to just get the other team a little confused about what we were doing, because Tyrod has usually been so limited. I mean, it's usually like if the Ravens are crushing the other team, Tyrod will come out there, or he'll come out like once a season in the past or something like that. But seeing him out there that much for this game, especially against a team like the Jets, where it seemed very evident early on that they weren't going to do too much, that the defense had their offense pretty much down pat, that they weren't going to do anything. So to have Tyrod come out and at least confuse the other team, like, what the hell is going on, I kind of liked that kind of calling, or that those kind of calls yesterday. But I hope, like, I don't want it to affect Joe's play, and I don't want it to do anything to him negatively. And I'm sure they went over, you know, using Tyrod and everything with him, because he is the number one guy. But having Tyrod out there, at least for a few plays a game, I wouldn't be opposed to, because I think it at least keeps the other team on their toes.
I agree also. And it's like I was saying, like, seeing new things every so often, besides the same old horse and pony show, like seeing Tyrod out there, it makes it a little bit more exciting. It gets the fans hyped up for something different. Yeah, don't run it in the ground, but every once in a while, I'm completely fine with seeing Tyrod out there.
Yeah, so did we cover everything for this Jets game? Should we get ready for our Steelers talk now, guys?
Well, Ed Reed didn't get it this week because Jacoby Jones beat him. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the Jets are covered. They're grounded.
Before we start talking about the Steelers hate week coming up, we're going to go to our Ravens tailgate song of the week. This week's song is by the band Staggering Back, and this is their song, Let It Rip, on the call.
Yeah.
That was Staggering Back with their song Let It Rip for our Ravens Tailgate Song of the Week.
Brandon, speaking of, I think this song fits this week, or this one here. Staggering Back means the Ravens are trying to get their footing and letting it rip, because we're going to let it rip on Thursday night.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And if you dug Let It Rip by Staggering Back, they are available on iTunes. You can check out their album, Busted Down. And if you're doing nothing on Black Friday, you can go check them out in Bel Air. They will be playing November 29th at McGurk's. So if you want to check them out, and if you do go, make sure you let them know that you heard about them on the call. So, guys, it is Steelers Hate Week, Thanksgiving night, Ravens Steelers, primetime on NBC, a nationally televised game. This is huge for the Ravens. It seems like this season, especially now, every game now is a Super Bowl game because we got to stay in that hunt, especially against such a big division rival and our known rival for this town. Like we saw, the defense did really well covering Geno Smith and the Jets, but Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers are a whole different animal. What does the defense have to do, Josh? Real quick, before you cough up another lung or anything, let's talk about what this defense has to do against the Steelers offense. How are they going to prepare on such a short week for these guys on Thursday?
Well, they practiced this evening. Obviously, guys were doing our podcast on Monday night. They had a short week. Luckily for us, it's at home. We stayed at home for another week and a half. They're just going to have to prepare. I mean, we already know it's the Steelers. They're on a roll. We're kind of on the roll, obviously. We're now at the same record. I mean, who would have thought we're at this point when they were 0-4, now they're 5-6? Tell you what, guys, I'm not happy that the Steelers are on a rise, and we need to put a stop to it. And defense needs to come out. We need to stop Big Ben. Obviously, stopping the run needs to be there because that sets up the pass. We cannot give up a big play. How many times the Steelers kill us with a big play, whether it's Heath Miller up the middle, Antonio Brown, it's just Emmanuel Sanders. We've got to stop these. You know, if it's third and longs, we can't. If it's third and 17, we can't let them catch the ball 22 yards to keep drives alive. Because I tell you what, that's going to take the wind out of the sails real quick for the fans, for the defense, for everybody, because you just need to get them off. I mean, how many times on third down the Ravens get the Jets off the field? That made me feel good. Okay, we get the ball back. They just need to come out firing, need to be fresh and ready, and we need to get some pressure on Big Ben and bring him down. I mean, last time there was a big game like this, we had a broken nose. Loading out, it broke his nose, and they still won the game. So you can break his legs, break his arms, he'll still be out there winning the ball. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe you just need to give him a motorcycle or something. I mean, I don't know what you need to give. But hey, I mean, I'm fired, I'm ready. But we'll piggyback on that, and obviously we'll open up the can of worms here to give a good discussion on this. Not only is it Ravens Steelers, but because of the shape the AFC is in, I want to give scooping news, because not only is it Ravens Steelers, but obviously with Ravens Steelers, always something on the line. Always. Whether it's a trip to the Super Bowl, whether it's a playoff game. I can't remember when the last time that the two teams kind of either sucked and it was just another game. I mean, obviously, it's always Ravens Steelers, but playoff spots on the line. 5 weeks to go. This is game number 1 out of 5 left. And, you know, this team coming out on Thursday night with the victory, the victorious team's going to be looking very mighty nice in the AFC playoff picture. One spot's up for grabs, and there are like 6 teams tied at 5-6. But don't take into account, because this is, and I'm going to talk about the AFC playoff picture as a whole. This is pretty interesting, and here's my take on it. The Bengals are ahead of us at 7-4. They play the Chargers, who are also 5-6. Let's say if we win and we're 6-6 and the Chargers beat them, the Chargers 6-6, Cincinnati loses, we're only a game out of first place for the division. The division crown's still for grabs, guys. I mean, everybody's writing us off, you know, playoffs, this and that. I mean, hey, we're in the thick of things. As it stands right now, Tennessee Titans get the tiebreaker through however the NFL does it. We need to win. Obviously, a loss. I'm just saying, if we lose this game, gotta win out. There's no way we're making the playoffs. But I tell you what, after seeing the Patriots-Broncos game Sunday night, like I had a big discussion today. Right now, no AFC team scares me. Everybody's like, well, can we beat the Broncos? Can we beat the Patriots? The Patriots' offensive line is about as good as ours. The Patriots were blanked in the first half, and obviously the Colts, or I would say the Colts, I'm thinking about Peyton Manning, the Broncos let a 24-0 lead disappear. that's not scary to me. If you're an elite team, that's not scary to me. I mean, if Steve Ball's answer, you're probably going to take the cheat there, but I'm just saying the AFC, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I don't know if you've looked at it already, but if the Ravens, obviously, will be the 16th, if Cincinnati wins the division, and obviously Indianapolis is horrible, but they're going to win that division by default unless they falter and Tennessee just ends up winning out and gets the division, we're going to play the third or fourth seed. You know, guys, we probably go to Cincinnati or Indianapolis. I'm fine with that. We could probably win another playoff game on the road and be in the divisional playoffs once again. So Ravens got to take care of business, guys, and what bigger stakes than Ravens Steelers on Turkey Day night. Let's get it going, man. Big matchup.
Yes, indeed it is. It's a very big matchup, and I think there's a bad taste in everybody's mouth with the last Pittsburgh Ravens game ended. I know I was pretty mad for the rest of the night and most of the next day when these two teams last met up, especially when we pretty much had the game in the palm of our hands and then special teams gave up a huge return. It wasn't beautiful, and I feel like in all aspects of this game, we need to come out fire on all cylinders more so than we did in the last game. The offense, they need to complete passes. They need the rushing game to really step up for this game. That's very important of trying to win a Ravens-Steelers game. It's very much so like playing for like a championship. It seems like any time these two teams play together, it seems like they're playing like it's going to be the last game you'll ever see anybody play every time. And it makes for a more fun matchup. And I'm just looking forward to seeing how we're going to handle this pressure. Because I feel like this is going to be probably the game that puts the most pressure on the Baltimore Ravens' shoulders this year. And I'm just really hoping that Flacco can complete passes, the receivers don't drop them, the special teams unit goes out there and stops whatever Steelers can throw at us. And that's on every end of the game, defense, offense, special teams. It's going to take everybody. It's really going to be a 100% complete team effort to win this game.
What I'm going to be interested to see, I mean, you brought up a good point. After that last Steelers-Ravens matchup earlier this season, a lot of fans were very upset about how that game turned out. It was not in Baltimore's favor. But I think the big thing, like you said, especially, is these guys have to play a full game. Everybody on that ball, doesn't matter if you're defense, offense, special teams, or whatever, everybody has to play 60 minutes. It's got to be at the top of their game to win this, because the Steelers, even though they came out, you know, starting this season very, very slow, they didn't look good at all. Ben Roethlisberger had rumors going around that he was trying to get out of his contract and go to another team and other things like that. But these guys, they've really come into their own, and they've been able to play some great football and really, really get back into gear. And the Ravens, I feel like this past Sunday is kind of a good test for them, because they were able to try out different things using Tyrod Taylor, and a lot of people were able to shine like Jacoby Jones. So I'm hoping that because of this past game, their confidence is up. There's been a lot of talk around the Ravens about what the problems are and why they don't look like a Super Bowl team. But after this Sunday's past game, I think that they were really able to come into their own, and I'm hoping that they have that confidence and that swagger that they always do when the Steelers come to town, especially on such a – they usually do really well on big stages if it's a national game, unless it's like Monday night. They don't have a great track record against Monday night games. But if it's a big stage, if it's a Thanksgiving game, especially just a few years ago up against the 49ers, the Ravens came out guns blazing and dominated that game. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be like the Ravens 49ers Thanksgiving game. I think it's going to be a very hard nosed game, and I think it's going to come down who makes one or two less mistakes is who's going to win this one. Because guys, let's talk about this as well. Baltimore is known for having such a huge advantage when they're at home games because the crowd is so loud, the crowd is so into it. So we know that's not going to be a problem. I want to talk about the weather real quick because, as we know, at least Josh and I know, in Baltimore right now, it is frigid cold out, and that's not really supposed to change on Thursday. So, guys, Dave, I'll go to you. If it is going to be cold, and they said it's going to be as cold as ice, like it's going to be below freezing, I'm pretty confident the Ravens do well in cold weather, especially after watching like that Denver game last year. But how do you think this cold weather and this kind of temperature and the environment is going to affect this game? Is it pro Ravens, or is it going to be something the Ravens are going to have to fight against?
It's pro Ravens. I'm Brandon. The Baltimore Ravens are usually always really good when it comes to what the weather throws at them. They usually handle it pretty well. I mean, there's some instances where, you know, things might have happened otherwise, but for the most part, like you said, especially last year in Denver, it was freezing there, and the Ravens handled it amazing. Joe Flacco held onto the ball. All the receivers were holding onto the ball. Flacco was throwing beautiful passes. The cold weather didn't affect him at all. It seemed like, and it was just a beautiful game, well played game, and I honestly feel like if they can handle what they did in Denver, then they can handle what's going to happen in Baltimore. Because I was in Virginia this past week for work, and it was pretty cold there, and I'm sure it's going to be a little bit colder. I know they're calling for snow this coming Wednesday, the night before the game, and you know, it really does. Weather like that makes for a better football game. It's football weather. If you can't play in it, then you shouldn't be playing the game.
Sorry, I think we kind of see after that, after Denver last year and after the Denver Patriots game this past week, I want to say Peyton Manning does not do well in cold weather. He's kind of used to being in Indy, you know, under a roof for too long. I don't know. I think this is definitely something pro Ravens. I think they've really shined in cold weather. I think they kind of they easily feed off of it. And I think hopefully the crowd's going to be keeping them nice and warm by screaming and everything. You know, screaming at the top of their lungs. And I think the combination of being at home and the combination of the cold and it being at night, I think that the Ravens will be able to come out with a win on this Thursday, because I think coming to Baltimore, even though they are the Steelers and they love to defeat Baltimore in Baltimore, I think the weather, the fans, the atmosphere, the holiday, I don't think they're going to get past all of that, because this past Sunday, I think, gave the Ravens a much-needed ego boost. And I think that due to, you know, almost everybody on the defense being healthy and practicing today, the defense is going to look good and is going to be able to contain that Steelers offense. Dave, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge for the Ravens going up against the Steelers?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say, comment on something you said about fans in the stadium screaming and yelling and keeping the Ravens warm. Well, I can promise you this, me and Josh are going to be up on that upper deck. We're going to be keeping everybody warm with our voices.
All right.
I'll be in attendance for this game. Fortunately, it'll be my first game this year. But back to your question, how do I feel like the Ravens are going to hold up against the Steelers, you said?
Yep.
I feel like it's going to be a typical Ravens-Steelers game. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be tough. And it's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be us. Just like John Harbaugh always says, no matter what happens, it's going to be Baltimore Ravens football. And let's be honest, these games, you can't just sit here and say that this team is going to win, because it's going to go either way. And it's kind of a difficult question to answer just because of the fact that these games are always so close and they're always nail-biters, and I'm always sitting on the edge of my seat when I'm watching these games. But it's like I said, it's really going to come down to defense in this game, but it's also going to come down to everybody working as a whole. And just like I said before, and it's everybody's got to be on point. The coaching has to be on point. The team, the players have to be on point. And just in case injuries happen, second string guys have to be ready at any moment, because these Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't play nice.
Now, Josh, what about you? What do you think is going to be the biggest hurdle that the Ravens have to get over to go up against these Steelers?
Turnovers, running game needs to get here, and I think basically converting touchdowns instead of field goals. I think especially if they were to capitalize on field position, take advantage of it, because if you let the Steelers hang around on Thursday, chances are, Steelers are winning the game, because it's usually how it goes. They let the Bears 2 weeks ago hang around, and they eventually won the game. I mean, you're up 10-0. It's just you have to have the sense of urgency. I mean, even the Broncos, dude, a 24-point lead can evaporate. You need to keep going. You need to stop making mental mistakes, and you need to keep going. The Ravens get up on a lead, whether it's 7-0, 10-7, 3-0, I don't care. They need to go after and smell the blood. It's going to be a war. Blood will be shed. It's Ravens-Steelers. Dubs always says that. History, we're going to repeat history. Someone's good. It's going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be, you know, one of those grudge matches. I mean, Thanksgiving night, everybody's going to be done watching the other games, and all eyes are going to be on, you know, Ravens-Steelers. Let's get the holiday started the right way. I mean, they would say it's the most jolliest time of the year. Right now, it's nothing but hate this week because it's Ravens-Steelers, playoff positioning on the line, pride's on the line, even the divisional race is on the line. Everything is on the line, and we're not letting these guys come in here to the house, and they're not going to leave it in M&T Bank. Because I tell you what, Ravens are going to show up. We're going to be yelling and screaming like Ravens. The Ravens are going to play like Ravens, and I think when it comes down to it, Ravens are going to win this game 17-20 in old-fashioned grudge match, and I'm going to say it's going to be a Justin Tucker game winner with less than a minute remaining, and we're going to sit in the sunset at 6-6, waking up on Black Friday morning, going shopping, and feeling good on Purple Friday.
Yeah, you know, it is going to be close, man. I think it is going to come down to Justin Tucker. It's going to be a 3-point game. There's no doubt in my mind. These guys, both these teams want that spotlight, and I think the Ravens are going to be able to pull it out just a little bit more and be able to suck up that spotlight as much as they can. But let's wrap up this show here. Guys, last question. Doesn't have to do with Ravens-Steelers, but it has to do with the Thanksgiving game. I don't know if you saw this or not. I just saw it tweeted out while we were recording, but at the Harbaugh press conference today, he actually said that he would be open to permanently having the Ravens host the Thanksgiving night game. So that would mean every single year on Thanksgiving, the Ravens would play at 8 o'clock in Baltimore. So, guys, Dave, I'll go to you first. What would it be like? Are you for or against the Ravens having a short week every single year playing a Thursday night game on Thanksgiving? Or were you are you thinking, turkey, Ravens football, that's a perfect Thanksgiving to me?
Well, see, where I stand right now, I'm going to say it's the greatest Thanksgiving to me because I live in North Carolina and I'm stationed in the Marine Corps here and I don't get to go to very many games. And Thanksgiving, I get 5 days off every single year. So I'd be at the game every year and it sounds like heaven on earth.
That sounds pretty good. Josh, what about you? What do you think this will do if the NFL actually goes through with it and listens to the fans? I mean, there's no doubt in my mind every single year the Baltimore Ravens would have a sellout crowd for Thanksgiving night. How do you feel about that? Do you think the NFL should do it?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to back that up by saying that 2 years ago we played the 49ers on Thanksgiving. It was a year, obviously, that we lost in the title game, and it was a great game. It was like a playoff atmosphere. Suggs had a 5 or 6 game sack game. We dominated the 49ers, and then obviously we saw them in the Super Bowl a year later. It was a great game. Hard-fought. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. It was great. Thanksgiving tailgate. I'd say why not? This is our second Thanksgiving game in the last 3 years. We never had one in Baltimore. 2 years ago was our first one. It blessed us with another great matchup. It was 49ers-Ravens. Now it's Ravens-Steelers. Obviously, this positioning line. I'm telling you what, if this game, which it should, live up to its billing, I think the league should do it. I mean, it should start a new tradition. I mean, obviously, they've done, you know, Thursday Night Football on NFL Network for a while, and then they just recently started implementing these Thursday Night games on Thanksgiving and have a third helping. I look at it as a nice three-course meal. The Lions have a great tradition about it. And it'll be Lions-Packers, and obviously the Raiders come into Dallas at 4 o'clock, and then obviously we clean up the mess and then get ready for Ravens-Steelers at 8:30. So I think it's going to be a great tradition. I think under Harbaugh's been vocal, not only about the Thanksgiving games, and that's great news, Brandon. Thanks for breaking that. But not only that, but Harbaugh was vocal about the league, about giving them a home Monday night game. You know how we always get snubbed on Monday nights and we always have to go on the road, which obviously we have to go to Detroit later in December. So it's just, and I remember that when he said that, we've opened up Monday Night Football against Cincinnati 2 years ago. So, I mean, I think Goodell is fair and sometimes listening to us. I mean, will it happen? I hope so. My gut says it probably won't, but you never know. You never know if Goodell's gracious enough to give the city of Baltimore and the fans a nice Thanksgiving treat every year at 8 o'clock, and I wouldn't mind going to that home game every year. I'd be looking forward to it every year. It'd be a great matchup. I think it'd be great for the city. especially with a lot of tourism, a lot of families coming to town. And I think it'd be great. I don't see a reason why not tickle the death of that news. Can't wait to see if it happens.
You know what? I would absolutely love for them to do this every single year on Thanksgiving. Just another tradition for everybody here in Baltimore. It's such a great atmosphere if you're a Ravens fan to be there. But Nestor brings up a good point. Nestor from WNST, he tweeted out his thoughts, and he said that there's a lot of NFL owners and fans that want nothing to do with this type of thing because, you know, they have trouble selling tickets. There's teams out there that black out their own games for people living in their area. Baltimore loves their football. Baltimore loves their Ravens. They sell out every single game. So, of course, Baltimore would come out on Thanksgiving night and see the Ravens play in Baltimore against any rival. It doesn't matter who they're facing. You don't have to make it a marquee match. The Ravens, the fans, will always be there. So, if you want to guarantee...
I mean, did they not see the parade?
Exactly.
The parade they
filled up that stadium.
I'll sure add to that.
For a day, and I was there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Did they not see our... I mean, come on, we just won Super Bowl. Did you not see our fans down there? Basically, I heard that we took over the French Quarter. I mean, is that not proof enough? I mean, give me a break.
Also, to add to that, but the publicity would be great for the city of Baltimore.
Of course.
I mean, we honestly, the Baltimore Ravens organization, they feel like they get shafted a lot when it comes to publicity and throughout the NFL. It's picked up a little bit more since we won the Super Bowl this year, but I feel like it would be great for the Ravens organization to have their name out there more so. Than anything.
Yeah,
Just a little bit more.
I'm totally for it. So, hey, if the NFL wants to do this and make it a tradition every single Thanksgiving night, let's do it. Bring the ball. Bring the turkey to Baltimore. We got everything else you need. We'll deep fry that turkey in Lot H if that's what you want to do. So.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's pretty much it for the call. If you want to talk football, you want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving or anything like that, you can tweet to me. I am on Twitter, at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you?
They can tweet me, but Brandon, before we get to that, you missed our call-out sign, man.
Did I?
Is there anything that we need to talk about? Not, repeat after me, not a chance.
Not a chance. You're right, I did forget.
Not a chance.
You forgot, man. Can't be getting it. Those Thanksgiving, you know, you want to get down to your vacation spot, but I mean, we got to do it right.
That's
if
right.
If not, we'll jinx it, then we'll lose, and then we're going to... Everybody's going to be blaming you, your Twitter feed's going to blow up, and then you have to get a new Twitter handle. I don't know how we're going to handle that. So.
Hey, you got to do it right, but I want to get home to Baltimore, fellas.
Well, Dave, we need to get up here because we got a game to go to soon, and can't wait to tailgate. Hey, we'll have to tweet that picture because I don't know if Brandon knows, but before we get to all the sign-off and everything, Brandon, do you know that Dave's actually going to be in a purple gorilla suit?
A purple gorilla? Oh, wow, I need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Halloween I found a purple gorilla suit and I said I'm wearing it. That's a game. It's something that had to be done.
Well, you know what? It's going to be so cold there. It's probably going to be good that you're going to be, you know, head to toe in fur at this game.
That's what that was my initial thoughts too, especially because the other day I was considering maybe not doing it, and then I found out how cold it was going to be up north, and I was like, yeah, it's happening.
All right, Josh, well, let us know, where can people follow you at Twitter since there's not a chance we missed anything else except for the actual sign-off?
Well, you can always follow me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, Dave, are you on Twitter as well? I don't even know.
I have a Twitter, but it's not something I really use a whole lot, so if people want to find me, I am on Facebook. You just type in my name, David Schiller. I'm on Friends List with Josh and yourself as well. Right. So, I mean, that's an easy place to find me.
All right, very cool. If you guys want to listen to this show or any other shows from The Call, we do have them archived. Go to thecall.brandocash.com. You can listen to all our old shows there. Plus, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. So it doesn't matter if you have an Apple or an Android device. We are available on all platforms, no matter how you decide to listen to us. Biggest thing you can do, let us know that you are thankful, and let everyone else know that you are thankful for the call. Let them know on Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Facebook and Vine and Reddit and Instagram. Let everybody know you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to the call, and they should too. So I guess that's pretty much it for the show. I do want to say, Dave, I'm very happy that you were able to join us for this show. And like you said, you are in the armed forces. I just want to say thank you personally to you for everything that you and the armed forces do for the U.S. And every year, you know, I always see people that are in the military thanking a lot of people on, you know, in the Macy's Day Parade and stuff like that because they can't be home. But I just want to say for you and everyone else in the armed forces, thank you. Thank you very much for everything you do for this country. So, Dave, again, thank you and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that. It's definitely nice for the people show their appreciation. I know last year I missed most of the season because I was actually deployed in Afghanistan, so it's been nice to be around this year.
We're very happy to have you back here, and hopefully these Ravens, they can get you a win when you're back in town for this game. So thanks again, Dave. And Josh, even though I think I'm coming down a little bit now with your cold here, Josh, send us off. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Send us off the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. Happy Thanksgiving. And special thanks to our good buddy Dave. Dave, thanks for being on the show tonight. It's been great. A special treat. I can't wait to spend the holiday with you and all my Ravens family. Here we go, guys. This is it. Steeler Week Part 2, 2013 style. Thanksgiving night. The stakes couldn't be any better. Playoff position on the line. We got to get it right. You got to get back to 500 on track for the two-game winning streak. Need to get back in the win column. Thursday night, where will you be? We'll be down at the stadium. Hopefully, you're 70,000 strong. Rooting us hard. We need to beat these Steelers. They're our hated rival. We need to get right back to it. So the war cry is, we are going to flock you up, Steelers, on Thanksgiving night. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high on Thursday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.